And that's kind of what I want to talk about this morning, is being fully given to God. And we're going to end up talking about someone who was, but life got in the way and ended up really bad. And we're going to be talking about Solomon again. And we kind of give Solomon a bad rap in terms of God. Like, he was the wisest man, but Solomon started so well. Solomon started loving God, and God showed up powerfully in his life. I mean, Solomon was the guy that God appeared to twice. I mean, tell me who else in the Bible that happens to. Like, he's one of the few. And actually, when he was born to Bathsheba, and Bathsheba was the one that David messed around with, had an affair, ended up killing her husband. Like, it was a mess. And there was a baby that was born, and that baby died. But David and Bathsheba were married and had another child, and that's where Solomon was from. And do you know what it says about Solomon? The very beginning, God loved him. God loved him. So Solomon, as a very young boy, right from the beginning, that's what was said of him. God loved him. So this is Solomon. Like, before he was the wisest man and, you know, like, popular, and, you know, everyone knew about him, God loved him. So I want to talk about Solomon a little bit. But before we get there, I want to kind of talk through some other verses. And I want you guys to jump in. So I'm going to pass out a few verses to you. So Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9, who wants to get that? All right, Jane. Michael, how about you do Mark 12, 28 to 30? Okay. And then 2 Corinthians 2:11. Eva? 2 Corinthians 2:11. I'll get a few others. 1 Kings 11, 1 through 8. Micah. All right, now let's do 2 Chronicles 8, 11 through 15. Who's got that? Who else is there? Okay, Doug, you got that. Okay, awesome. All right, so please remember, I don't know who's doing that. 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians 2:11, yeah. All right, perfect. So what I want to do is I want to talk about why God wants your whole life. Why God wants your whole life. And you guys know this. Like, being a follower of Jesus isn't an add-on to our life. This isn't even supposed to make life better. You know, being a follower of Christ means that we die. Just as Christ died, we also have been crucified with Christ and no longer live, and now he is our life. And I've heard this before, a guy named Ravi Zacharias. And you know what? It's so funny. I've always wondered this. I was always like, okay, when I was younger, I was like, okay, being a Christian is about doing good things. You know, like, God helps us be better people. Like, I thought that way. So I was always wondering, like, these people who, you know, like, didn't follow God, but were really good people, loved people, were super kind. And I was always stumped, like, what's the difference between them and me? You know, and almost like, well, what good is it? You know, like, if they're good, you know, like, they're good enough. Like, well, what's the point? But realizing that Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He made dead people alive. Ravi Zacharias says that. And is that not true? It's not about becoming better. It's about being brought to life. Amen? And the invitation of Jesus is not that we lay down our life and we get this little add-on to help us. It's that we get a whole new life. And just as Jesus gave his whole life for us, he is asking for our whole life. All of it. Our whole life. So I'd like to jump into some verses. So Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9.
These are the commands, that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts.
Come on. So this is right after Moses. Oh, are you not done?
I thought I was going to 6. You want to finish 7 through 9?
Go for it. Yes, please. Sorry, Jane.
Okay. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
Amen. That was important. Really glad you got that in. So this is called the Shema. And Shema in Hebrew means to hear. Okay, that's why that second part was talking about hear, O Israel. You know, so this was something, this was like a creed that the Hebrews would say. This is what this summarized the whole law. And Shema means hear, and right from it, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Lord is one. So I want to talk a little bit about theology, because this is right here. You know, like one of the great mysteries of God. You know, like in the Old Testament, we see in the Shema, the Lord is one. In the New Testament, we see that, again, the Lord is one. 1 Corinthians 8:6, there is one God. You know, so Scripture is clear that it's one. But if you look at the, what the Scripture says about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is this mess because, you know, like the Scripture so clearly says that God the Father is God, and the Scripture so clearly says that Jesus, the Son of God, is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. So how do you make sense of this mess? Here, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And actually, when Christianity was starting, some of the commentators were saying that the Jewish rabbis in the synagogue would actually say that again and again for minutes. The Lord is one, the Lord is one, the Lord is one. Because Jesus was claiming to be deity, and they were so opposed to that thought. But if you look back in the Old Testament, it's all there. You know, I think of in the Psalms even, you know, David says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, I'll make your enemies a footstool underneath you. And Jesus actually referenced that to the Pharisees and the Sadducees when they came to him. And they didn't know what to do with them, so they stopped asking him questions. But I want you to, just a little piece before we go on. So in the Shema, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. That word one is ehad. It's talking about compound unity, okay? And some of this, how this plays out, is in Genesis 1. So there was morning and there was evening, the first day, you know? So that is where that word was used. It was talking about like it was one day, but there's two parts to it. There's morning and there's evening, but there's one day. Another part where this plays out is talking about marriage, when it's talking about that the two shall become one flesh. You know, so this great mystery, how can two be one? You know, like the Scripture alludes to this. So I want to give you just kind of a little bit of the whole theology about Trinity is this great mystery, but it's right there. It's unity made out of plurality. So this isn't disagreeing with Scripture. This is that the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is perfectly unified. And we worship them as one because they're completely unified. So this passage in Deuteronomy sums up the whole law. He had given them the law, the Ten Commandments, all this. And God summarizes it all in this statement. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's it. That is the law. That is what God is requiring us. Our response to Him for being our great rescuer is that we would love God with all of who we are. See, this isn't just slavery for the sake of now you're the boss. No, this is a willing, loving commitment to God with our whole heart, with our whole strength, with all of our might. It's a complete love. All right, Mark 12, 28 through 30. So Jesus, we have it in the Old Testament stated, and Jesus, again, verifies that this is what it all comes down to. So this isn't just an Old Testament truth. Jesus in the New Testament is saying this is what it comes down to. This is what God is asking of us, to love God with all of who we are, to have a whole life given to God, summarized in a complete love for God. Our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength is completely comprehensive. It's all in. It's being fully given. And it's not just in attention and focus, but also in affection. Beloved, so much of life is where our affections are. So God is asking us to have affection for God. And out of that flows all of life. So, yes, we're called to love God fully, but I want you to know that it's not just about a relationship. There is a blessing in this relationship, and we know salvation, all this, but the passage that Jane read in Deuteronomy 6, I want to spend just a few moments kind of pulling out, where was the blessing for the people of God? Right before the Shema, the Hear, O Israel, before that, there's this preface of there is a blessing if we live this way. So, Jane, can we push that up, Eva? Deuteronomy 6. So this is verse 1 through 3. I want to kind of hear what are some of the blessings that God is talking about to His people if we follow Him and live for Him. What is the blessing? Yeah, they can possess it. Yeah, that's one of them.
Yeah, in verse 3, I don't know if it's up on there, but it says that it may go well with you.
Yes.
And you may increase greatly in the land flowing with
all. Yeah. Yeah, that would go well, multiply greatly, possess it. What else do you see?
Have a long life.
Yeah, have a long life. I think you mentioned this, Jane, land flowing with milk and honey. Do you see that? Like, there is an amazing blessing in being fully given to God. So what I want to contrast that is as we go later, Solomon lived in this blessing. He lived in the fullness of it. This was the peak, this was the height of the people of God in the land of promise. Solomon lived it. David set the stage for it, but Solomon lived it. He lived the good life. And what I'm talking about is not just material blessing and respect and awe, but he lived in the fruit of the good life, the blessing of being wholly given to God. And beloved, the reason why Solomon did was because David did. Solomon lived in the fruit of David's heart being wholly given to God. So the Shema, that creed was lived out fully with Solomon at his early ages. But I want to kind of shift a little bit. Well, before I do, this isn't just an Old Testament truth. In the New Testament, the same as well. We don't possess a land, but our promised land is the fullness of Christ. It's the blessing of Christ, the inheritance of Christ. Everything that Christ won is our reality now. It's going to be fully realized in heaven, but right now we live in that fullness. And when we are fully given to God, guess what? His grace, His peace, His hope, His life, His mind, His heart, all these things are ours. It's amazing. It's not just security for an eternal hope and future. It is a fullness of life right now. So before we go in and see a life that has tanked, I want you to know that that it's not just like, okay, you're either in or it goes bad. It's being fully given to God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the blessing of God, his full favor, the fullness of what Christ has for us is ours. So this is a putting before you blessings and curses. This is where we are. Blessings or curses? Blessings and curses. See, here's the deal. We have an enemy of our soul who wants to steal, kill, and destroy, who wants to rob us of blessing. Do you see this? The enemy wants to rob us of blessing. And Eva, could you read your verse? Which verse are you reading? Second Corinthians. Sorry, baby. I gave you a different one. Can I give you another verse? And okay, I'm going to give you 1 Corinthians 5:6, okay? 1 Corinthians 5:6. So I'll read 2 Corinthians 2:1 because I have a cheat sheet, okay? So knowing that the enemy of our souls wants to rob us of blessing, Paul is saying this, that he's speaking to the Corinthians church, and he says, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. We're not ignorant of his schemes. Like, we know that he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. But you need to know, beloved, that Satan is determined to put things in our lives to hinder us from the fullness of his blessing. Do you know this? He wants to rob us of that blessing. So Galatians 5 says this, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And Eva, can you read your verse?
1 Corinthians 5:6.
Yeah. Thank you. So the Word of God is telling it's the small things that affect the whole thing. So, beloved, we know that when we give our whole life to God, the blessing is there. But the schemes of Satan are not these big, huge things. It's the small things that affect the whole thing. So all this is a preface to Solomon. Like I said, last week we talked about the glory of God coming down. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine being in a place where fire comes down from heaven? The glory of God invades the temple. I mean, what would that do for you for the rest of your life? Having a bad day? Like, do you remember when the glory of God fell down and we were flat on our faces because God was there? I mean, this guy was used by God. He knew God. Remember, he was loved by God. Solomon was a man of God. Do you see this? Like, we give him a lot of junk for what happened later, but he was a man of God. But it didn't end that way. And that's what I want to kind of focus on. What happened to Solomon that he started in the blessing and the fullness of God? And what derailed him? So I want to hit two verses, but 1 Kings 11:1-8. Let's do that first.
Yeah. It says, now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Arab, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women, from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives, princesses, So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not wholly follow after the Lord, as David his father had done. Yeah. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh and the abomination of Moab, and for Molech, the abomination of the Ammonites, on the mountain east of Jerusalem. So he did so for all his foreign wives, who made offerings and sacrifices to their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, and the God of Israel had appeared to him twice.
Wow. How'd you like that to be said of you at the end of your life? God help us. So what do you see from that verse? You know, what are the pieces of Solomon's life that had missed the mark, had been diverted? What do you see? Yep, that was the law. That I don't know if I wrote down that verse, but yeah, it was the law that Israelites should not intermarry, because God said they will turn your hearts away. So he disobeyed. What else do you see from that passage? You know, what about it? I mean, he disobeyed God, but what happened to him? What does that scripture inform us?
I see that maybe I'm just thinking about this just in terms of, you know, where we're coming from with worship today too, but just where your awe is pointed towards. You know, like for example, with, you know, the stars in the universe, like you can be in awe of those things and turn your heart towards worshiping those things instead of worshiping their creator. So, you know, it's one thing to be in awe of how God creates us all in his image, and whether, you know, we're from all these different nations or backgrounds and whatnot, but to turn from being in awe of the variety of how he's able to create us to actually worshiping those things, because Solomon turned to a life of worshiping women, basically, from a variety of backgrounds. He was in awe of them, and his life turned to worshiping the wrong thing.
What else do you see?
Well, I like how it repeated over and over every time he says his heart was not fully devoted.
Yeah.
Or he did not follow the Lord completely.
Yeah.
And it's just the exclusivity,
yeah,
of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He is the one true God, and that's who we're supposed to worship. And like working in India, that was like a big thing, because you have like people coming from Hindu faith come to put their faith in Jesus,
yeah,
who's just one among many gods.
Yeah.
Jesus is just one among many gurus. And, you know, they don't, but God requires us exclusively and fully and completely,
yeah,
to devote ourselves to him. And the crazy thing is, it's the exact same philosophy that we're dealing with in India, working with Hindus, is the same exact one that's here in Sonoma County.
Yeah.
That Jesus is just
one of
many different religions and faiths and moral teachings or ways to God or ways of living your life.
Yeah.
And it's like the same thing, but it's so clear all throughout scripture that God wants all of us.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just think that's exactly what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
It's like Jesus plus all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And it's the problem that the church and the problem that the world has faced for a really long time.
Yeah, and honestly, it's from the beginning. You know, like the serpent didn't say give it all up. You know, like it was just like, yes God. It wasn't about denying God. It was yes God, but did he really say this? Like it was a small thing. It was a small thing. Anyone else want to comment? Yeah.
Solomon didn't have anybody.
Wow.
Solomon didn't have a person that he could turn to and say,
amazing,
okay, I'm going down this road and it doesn't look good. Can
you
help me?
Yeah. Wow.
And Solomon, right there, did what was evil in the sight of the Lord.
Yeah.
go and talk to. And I hear God saying, I've given you people in your life.
Mm.
You need each other.
Huh.
You cannot walk this way
yeah.
with me
yeah.
without one another person.
Yeah. And I think of Solomon, of all people, of all people.
Yeah.
I mean, he had everything. He had everything. And, you know, Proverbs, if you read the book of Proverbs, like I think it's Proverbs 5 or 6. So this is inspired scripture, you know, Holy Spirit breathed through the pen of Solomon. And he is writing of himself, you know, and saying, don't listen to the woman who's going to lead you astray. He's writing it down like it's not that he's been duped and doesn't know. He knows, but it's still too hard. Yeah. 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 Had to be desperate.
he was turning to God all the time.
Yeah.
God's great, but I like my new iPhone.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, me too.
But,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Well,
it can be, you know. Like, it isn't the root of all evil, but it can be, you know. It's hard. Yep. So that goes back to, it's not about your pocketbook, it's about your spirit. But your pocketbook can inform your spirit, you know? That's why as a church we talk about being desperate for God, you know? Like we have to remain desperate for God. Because when we get casual, when we get comfortable, that's when the little things get rooted and grow. So we see in this passage that he loved. He didn't just have women. He loved these women, you know, and it was many. It started with one, though. We're going to get there in a little bit, but he loved them. And beloved, you know, like I'm not talking to you about, you know, like don't have a lot of misters and misses in your life. You know, like from a spiritual standpoint, I'm talking about where's your love? Where's your love? What are things, what are small things in your life that you love, but really have the power to divert your love from God? That's really what this is about. So he loved many women, but he clung to them. That's what the scripture says. He clung to them. There's this holding fast and staying close to them. So this wasn't this other thing in his life that he just had. No, there's this devotion to them. It was deep. It wasn't just casual. And it said that his wives turned his heart. Just like the scripture warned, the wives turned his heart. And it was gradual. And so verse 4, Solomon, listen to this. This was so profound to me. Verse 4 says, for when Solomon was old, when he was old, his wives turned away his heart. So what I was seeing in this is that Solomon started out so well, loved God, and had this small little thing on his life, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew, and eventually when it's old, his heart was completely turned. It was so gradual, and it took years. You know, oftentimes we read the scripture, and we see it as like this, and then this, but you need to know that there were years. There were years that went on that Solomon was just so enamored with God. And I'm going to show you a verse in a little while that's just unbelievable as it speaks to this. But it was years of this small thing in his life diverting his entire attention away from God and away from the love of God. He was old. So that's why God wants us to be fully given to God. Fully given, because the small things can become big things and lead us completely astray. And it's not about a moment, it's about a lifetime, it's about how we finish. All right, 2 Chronicles 8. Who has that? 2 Chronicles 8, 11 through 15. I told you to get that? All right, Eva. Thank you, Doug. All right, 2 Chronicles 8, 11 through 15. You have comment on it then, okay? Thank you. Okay. So we saw how Solomon ended, but this is where it began to turn. Right here, this is where it began to turn. So speak to me, verse 11. What happened? Is that on the screen? Can you pull that up, Eva? Verse 11, what happened? How did this sliver get inserted? Yeah.
He went back to Egypt. He already had crossover.
Yep.
But he went back.
He went back.
Which was the heart of the Israelites all those times.
Yep.
That they wanted to go back.
Yeah. And it was just one. Just one. One princess. So he brought Pharaoh's daughter to be his wife. But listen to this. So he brought her away from the city of David and he built a house for her. So he was in the city of David. That's where he reigned. And he brought Pharaoh's daughter. And he had this realization that Pharaoh's daughter can't live where the city of God is, where the presence of God is. This is an abomination. We can't have Pharaoh's daughter here in Jerusalem where the presence of God is. So I'm going to build a house for her over here. So she was here, and he said, this doesn't work. We are going to build a house for her over here. Isn't that crazy? My wife shall not live in the house of David, king of Israel, for the place to which the ark of the Lord is, which is where the presence of God has come, are holy. Unbelievable. This is where that divide started. So here was in the city of God where the worship of God is happening. And if you read down in those verses that Eva was saying, it was talking about this. Every day he was doing the service of the temple. You know, like this was happening all the time. He was fully given to the worship of God in the temple of God. He didn't turn aside from these things. Every day he was fulfilling the ministry that God had called him to through David, who was the man of God. He was doing it. He was living it. And he brought Pharaoh's daughter and he's like, we can't have this. This is going to ruin everything. I'll build a house for you over here because this is holy. And set apart for God. Isn't that unbelievable? I want you to be aware of the devil's schemes. Do you see what's going on in Solomon's mind? This love. He had this other love for something other than God. And he brought it into his life. He realizes like these things don't fit together. One does not agree with the other. So do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to compartmentalize it in my life. Yeah, my heart's fully given to God, but I'm going to bring it over here. I'm going to make a division so that they don't touch. And it's just small. I'll build her a small house. It won't be where the presence of God is, where the ministry of God is. And it can just be over there and we're all good and life goes on. Isn't that crazy? This small little deviation, this small thing captured his whole heart. Because a little leaven, a little yeast affects the whole loaf. Oh my God. God have mercy. Beloved, I don't know what is going on with us. I don't know if this is for you or if this is so that we would understand what the schemes of Satan is. And it's small. And it's these small compromises that people make, that you compartmentalize your life. But this little thing eventually takes over the whole thing. That's the scheme of Satan. He knows that. So this is why we are to be fully given to God with our whole life, our whole heart, our whole devotion, our whole affection, our heart, soul, mind, strength, everything. Because there is blessing. He wants to bless us. But also because if we don't, there's a curse. There's a curse. And beloved, so many people get caught off guard by this. The small things, the small little things, the things that people rationalize, justify, put off to the side. You know what's interesting? This isn't about sin, okay? This isn't about sin. It's what right do we give that sin? So we look at David and this. David messed up a ton, okay? David, this man of God, did terrible things. But it says of him that he was a man after God's own heart. So what's the difference between David, who's an adulterer and a murderer, and Solomon, who just likes women? Nothing wrong. He just likes women. What's wrong? What's the difference? It honestly seems like David's the bad dude. He's murdering people for crying out loud. What's the difference? What's the difference? What do you think? What's the difference? He's repentant. So I see of David this whole heart for God. And is going to do stupid things, but he has allowed God access to the whole house. If there's something wrong in me, God, you have access to it. You can speak to it. And I love you so much that I want to listen to you. Solomon had compartmentalized his life. So, okay, this is off to the side. It's not even in the same city. It's just this thing. God, you have access over here, but not over here. Do you see that? Not over here. Solomon did not give God access to that space. He was not wholly given to God. Isn't that what the scripture says? So, beloved, this is a word of warning. I believe that this is a word of understanding. And I don't know if there's things right now that you've compartmentalized. If there is, we know what the word of God is. Repent, repent, repent. Bring it into light. Confess it. You know, bring it to God and allow God access to it. We're all going to sin. We've all fallen short of God's glory. And his grace is sufficient. This is not about sin. It's allowing God access to those places and not compartmentalizing our lives so that those things grow. But I believe this is about understanding. That we'd have understanding to what Satan is after. He's always after the small things. So we're going to close. We're going to worship. Beloved, you need to know that that is what's happened in our city. It started as small things, you know? That's what's happened in our nation. It has started as small things. And look at where it is now. Look at where it is now. You know, these things grow and take over. The fruit of David was unbelievable blessing with the presence of God. The fruit of Solomon was a divided nation and idol worship, and that was a mess that never got reconciled. God have mercy. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for truth. God, I ask, Lord, that you would protect us from small things. And Jesus, I know that we will always be tempted by other loves. Our flesh is going to want, we are going to be prone to wander. But God, I ask that you would protect us. Lord, that we would have hearts like David who are fully after you. Jesus, that we would be a people who love you with all of our mind and all of our strength, all of our hearts. God, everything in us, Jesus. And God, when we mess up, Lord, that we'd allow you access. Jesus, keep us pure and holy given to you. And God, I ask that in this city, Lord, that we would be a remnant. Lord, that we would be of you. Lord, that we would not be compromised, but that we'd be fully given to God. And Lord, that through us, the blessing of Christ may be realized on our church, on our families, on the church, and in this city, God. God, turn hearts back to you. Oh, God, revive us in Jesus' name. Let's worship. But if you need prayer for anything, Pam is back there. She'd love to pray with you. Amen.